Welcome to MilSpouse House, where we discuss our personal experiences with being a military spouse, answer your questions, and try to navigate this crazy journey together. I'm Molly.
I'm Erin. So come on in, grab some coffee, get cozy, and let's chat.
All right, so we got a listener question regarding my first pregnancy and the drama of my husband almost not making it home from deployment for the birth. And so we figured today we will kind of go over how the heck that happened, because I know a lot of people are very curious about that entire story. So that's me. What we'll talk about. I know Erin's like on the edge of her seat.
This is, Molly, this is a subject that I am so glad that you are here for, because I cannot speak on this. And I know a lot of our listeners can relate to it. I may or may not be mortified when you're talking about some of these things, because pregnancy terrifies me.
I love pregnancy and birth, but I will spare the details.
No, give them to me. It's fine. It. I need to know this. Because I don't feel like I was prepared for it or anything.
Yeah, I do not have a filter when it comes to pregnancy and birth, because, yeah, I feel like there is not enough practical education out there on it. You know, and a lot of people, when even pregnant people, mm-hmm. you know, pregnant individuals that are leading up to birth don't know what to expect, because all they know is, you know, oh, it's going to be painful. Oh, you know, there's going to be screaming. Oh, you know, this is what it looks like in the movies, which there are very, very few movies that are actually accurate. Or they've heard the horror stories from other women. And birth should be a topic that is empowering for women. And I truly believe that every woman can give birth to their baby and should be empowered to give birth to their baby. Our bodies were built to create life and to give birth to life. And thankfully we have a medical system that can step in when the body needs help. I often think that we step in a little bit too early sometimes, but it's all, of course, case by case. But yeah, I feel like it should be celebrated more than feared. You know, I was actually in my second birth. My first birth, I thought I knew what I was heading into, but I didn't prepare as well as I probably should have, because I was so focused on making sure everything was in place just in case I had to do it alone. In
case you didn't prepare. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I guess I'll start at the beginning so no one gets confused. Okay. So my husband and I wanted kids right off the bat. I love kids. I have a degree in early childhood development. I have worked in, so many daycares, babysat, nannied. I love kids, So I wanted kids right away. But, our love story. If you don't know our love story, we talked about it in a whole episode called Molly Elopes. So go and refer to that one if you're not familiar. But we actually didn't move in together, you know, until a couple weeks before my husband's first deployment. So we couldn't really find the time to get pregnant right away, because I was in school, he was in the military, and then he deployed. And then we had less than a year in between the deployments. So I remember we had a lot of conversations about it. Like, when are we going to get pregnant? When is this feasible for us to do? And we pretty much, we were like, okay, it's now or never. In between the deployments. Because we'd rather me be pregnant during the deployments than me have a baby and him miss a lot of the baby's life during a deployment. Right. And we knew that he was getting out. This would be his last deployment. So we knew that he was going to get out. So when he returned from his first deployment, we thought we had a year between the deployments. It ended up being a little bit less than that. But we pretty much decided, okay, now or never. We want to get pregnant as close to his deployment date as possible. Because it was a 6-month deployment and pregnancy is 9 months. So we wanted to make sure that he would be home for the birth and be gone for the majority of pregnancy. And that's what we did. But it, go ahead. Do you have a question?
So yeah, I do. So, what was the reason? So you knew he was going to get out not that much after his deployment. What was your reasoning for, I guess, having a child then instead of waiting till he got out? I mean, obviously,
We were
healthcare
just
probably
so
has,
ready. We were so ready. The healthcare, yeah, we knew that our healthcare would never be as good as it was then. We had heard, you don't pay a cent when you have a child in the military. And we were just ready. And honestly, it was a little bit of a military, like taking back some power, I would say, is how I thought about it, because so much of your life is run by the military that this was our decision. They couldn't tell us, whether or not we could have a baby and when we could have a baby. There are definitely factors that came into it because we were in the military and, we wanted to get pregnant at a specific time, if possible. We didn't even know, like, fertility-wise, you never really know your fertility until you start actively trying to conceive. And so we didn't know how long it would take. And the average, it might be different now, so don't quote me on this average, but usually it takes about like 6 months for a couple to conceive naturally the first time around. So we gave ourselves 3 months, and we knew that's half the time it usually takes couples. So we were okay with if it didn't happen, it didn't happen. It's not the right time. We really believe that like everything happens for a reason. So we were okay if it didn't happen, but we wanted to try again because the health insurance, but really we were just so ready. And so I, got off birth control and we got pregnant. I didn't even actually get my period back. So usually you have to get your period back and have a couple of cycles. And that's why it takes a couple of months. Well, apparently I'm very fertile. We're very fertile. And the first cycle, I didn't even get my period back. So I never got my period back after birth control. And we got pregnant right out the gate. And I am so thankful and grateful for that because I know that that is not the case for a lot of couples. And if you are struggling with infertility, my heart goes out to you. I have a lot of family and friends that struggle with infertility, and it's just something that you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy. And so I always feel guilty that I got pregnant so quickly, because I know that that is not the case. And people try very, very hard and spend thousands of dollars trying to conceive. So I feel terrible even saying it, but I do like when I'm explaining how it happened for us, it's kind of, you have to say it. You have to, and this is,
That's your
this is my
story.
story. Exactly. It's our story. And, like I said, I'm so thankful, and I acknowledge that it's not as easy for, for others than it was for us.
But I love how you say it was you taking your power back from, I don't want to say from the military, but independently of the military. And I think that's awesome. I never really thought about it that way.
And it's really just like other military spouses will are probably the only ones that will kind of understand that that military, tug and pull, if you will, power control aspect of it. But yeah, so we were 3 months out from deployment. So like, you know what? Let's give this a try. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And we got pregnant right away. So we got pregnant in early September. So like September 1st, I believe that date sticks in my head, so I'm almost positive that's when I tested and it came back positive. Funny story about that, I did not think I was pregnant. Did not think I was pregnant. I was like, there's absolutely no way. But I was just curious, and I had so many pregnancy tests just sitting there staring at me. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna test. I was opening at work, so I was up early. I was up before my husband. So I, peed on the stick and put it down. It takes a couple of minutes. If you never take a pregnancy test, you have to wait. You have to like pee on it, and then you have to wait for like 2 to 3 minutes, depending on the test and how sensitive it is. And so I was literally about to get in the shower because that's how certain I was that I was not pregnant, is I was gonna leave it on the counter, take a shower, and come back and just like check it when I got out of the shower. for some reason, right before I got in the shower, I checked it and they were very, very clearly two lines, which means pregnant.
What did
And
you
I was in shock. Like my hands immediately started shaking. I couldn't believe my eyes. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning. So I was like still half asleep. And I walked out because we had like the master suite. So it was connected to like the bedroom where my husband was sleeping.
Right.
And I said, babe. And he shot out of bed. I did not tell him I was taking a test, but he just said he like shot out of bed. He was like, for real? And I was like, distinct
He
lines.
already
I was
knew when
like,
he woke up.
I don't know how he knew. Instinctually,
Oh.
he just knew. And so, because he didn't like even ask, he just knew right away when he popped up out of bed. He's like, really? I was like, yeah. But it really, so it
Oh.
didn't sink. I mean, it sunk in enough for like me to start like shaking, but I didn't believe it. I was in denial. And so I wanted to get a blood test. So you can go to a blood test and you
Right.
can test your, I believe it's HCG levels. Again, don't quote me on that.
No
Fertility-wise, the fertility part is the part of like pregnancy and birth that I am least knowledgeable on. So please don't come at me if I get the acronyms wrong. But yeah, I think it's your HCG levels when you're pregnant rise, and that is you can test that through the blood. And so I had an OB at the time because it was like a gynecology and obstetrician goes hand in hand. So I had a gynecologist that I was going to use for my obstetrician as well. And so I called their office as soon as they opened, but then I had to go to work. So I knew I was pregnant, and then I just had to go to work like it was another day. And that didn't last long because, little to my knowledge, my boss was pregnant as well, but had
Oh,
not told
wow.
anyone. And so, and because she was early on. And so I went in and she knew immediately something was off. And so she pulled me aside. And so I told her. And then we both started crying because then she told me that she was pregnant. And
Oh.
we ended up having our babies a month apart.
Wow.
And so that was super cool. Having your boss that really brought us together, and we were more like friends, and we still chat too, to this day. And I mean, we haven't seen each other in 3 years, probably, in person, but we chat on a daily basis just because, when you're pregnant with someone, that friend is going to be your friend for life. It's just something that brings you so much closer. And but yeah, and so I went in for a blood test, and they confirmed it, and that's when it really sunk in. Is oh my gosh, like I am really pregnant. And the timing could not have, well, okay. So the timing twofold was very concerning because my due date was 2 or 3 weeks before my husband was due back from deployment.
Oh.
Because again, remember, we gave ourselves 3 months to get pregnant before deployment and we got pregnant right away because the goal was to get pregnant close to deployment.
Right.
So that then he could have time after deployment before the baby was born. Well,
Right.
that backfired on us. Best laid plans. But timing wise, we were going home to Michigan because we were in Louisiana at the time. So we were going home to Michigan to visit family before he deployed. And so I was like, perfect. I get to tell everyone in person that
Oh.
I'm pregnant. And so that was really, really special. We gave all of our friends and family, we told them separately, and it was the first grandbaby on both of our sides, on both of our families.
Wow.
And so we told our parents that they were going to be grandparents, and there were tears. And oh my gosh, I honestly, I know my mom listens to the podcast. Mom, I was so afraid to tell you because the original plan was to wait until he was out of the service to get pregnant, and we didn't tell anyone that we were trying. So it kind of came out of the blue. It was kind of a planned shift.
For them, it came
Yeah,
out of the blue.
for them, it came out of the blue. For us, it was very planned. But yeah, I was so afraid to tell people because they were going to be in a different state. And it definitely
And
throws
your
in another
husband's about to
factor.
deploy.
Yeah, and my husband's about to deploy. And so little did they know that it was very, very planned. But yeah, I think the only one that actually told me that they were upset was, I think, my grandma. She was like, "But
Oh.
wait, you can't be pregnant. You're not, he's still in the military and you're still in Louisiana." And but it was more of concern than like, "I'm mad at you." But I
Right.
really thought that people were going to be mad. But,
Oh.
everyone is just excited. So excited. And I am the first of my friends to have kids. And so it was just a bunch of firsts, and it was just so, so exciting. So yeah, and so the fast forward through the so there's three trimesters. So and they're all 3 months long. So he deployed right before my second trimester. And so
Oh,
if you don't
wow.
know much about pregnancy, the first trimester is pretty much you're pregnant, but there's no like you don't have you usually don't start showing in the first trimester. You're really sick. I had horrible migraines. I was sick constantly. It is morning sickness, but like I had all day sickness.
Ugh.
And so it was really tough because there were so many things that we wanted to do before he deployed, but I just wanted to lay on the couch and sleep
Were you
for
glad to have him for that part, though? Because originally your plan was for him to really be gone for that part.
Yeah. Yes and no. He was so pre-deployment, he was still gone a little bit. Like
Right.
I think he came over to California for there was a lot. It kept him busy. Like the pre-deployment stuff kept him very busy. So he still
Yeah.
wasn't there a whole lot. I feel like I would have if I had to choose what part of pregnancy to have him home, it would definitely be the third trimester, not the first
Okay.
trimester.
Yeah.
Because the second trimester, I called it, I literally wrote in my journal that this was the happy phase of pregnancy because I had energy, I felt amazing, I had the cutest bump that I loved dressing. I loved dressing the bump. And I was like starting to really feel like I was pregnant. So I started buying things. And I went home for the holidays, and that's when I had baby showers. And so it was just really fun. The middle 3 months were really fun. And that helped too, because that was the first 3 months of deployment.
Oh, yeah.
And so the first 3 months of deployment, I kept myself very, very busy. I had multiple jobs. I kept active. I had baby showers. I had people come down and visit me, and it was really good. And then the third trimester hit, and I started to really get anxious about him not making it home for the birth. And so that's my planning phase where I kind of went overboard on planning because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't gonna go at this alone if he
Yeah.
didn't make it back in time. I mean, he wasn't supposed to come back until after my due date. And that was not changing. That was not changing. And there was little to nothing that we could do to change that or to alter that coming home date. So me being the ombudsman really helped though, because I had the chain of command. I had the chain of command list. So I knew who, if anything happened in terms of like complications, if I was in the hospital, if I had early labor, I had the chain of command list. I knew who to call, when to get a hold of him if I wasn't in contact with him. So in that aspect, it really benefited me to have those numbers because it was kind of like, okay, at least he'll know what's going on, even though I have to go through the chain of command to get to him if we're out of communication at the time that it happens. But yeah, so that's what I planned, and it was actually in my birth plan. So I don't know if you're familiar with a birth plan,
No,
but it's like your
ma'am.
birth preferences. So I call
Ooh.
it now I kind of look at it as a birth map because there are multiple ways to get to a destination. And so I like to
Okay.
call it a birth map in terms of, okay, so these are my preferences, but I understand that, this is kind of the baby show and a lot can change in terms of how labor and delivery go.
Okay, that's a good way of looking at
So
birth
yeah,
map.
going into it, I wanted to go what's called unmedicated, so no pain medication and
Oof.
little interventions as possible. And so just like the preferences in terms of like I didn't want an epidural. I wanted to like keep on my feet. So that kind of
Keep
stuff. I won't get
on your
it.
feet. What do you mean, keep on your feet?
So when you're laboring, you want to use gravity and movement as much as possible.
Oh my God.
You're
I'm sweating. You want to use, okay. All right. Gravity.
because
So
if you think about how the baby is positioned, in the woman's body, their head down, and the object is to come out. So if you're laying down, you're not using gravity as much as you would if you were laboring standing up. So that's why they tell women to like go on a walk. Yep, go on a walk. Stay upright as much as possible. Or if you are down, or laying down, you know, put pillows between your legs. I could go into that, but I won't because it's not necessarily part of the story. But anyway, a part of my birth plan, I had like, if I go into labor and my husband is still deployed, these are the numbers to call. So I can hand that over to the labor and delivery team and say, because sometimes women go into labor and they call it precipitous labor, which is like within hours of you starting labor, the baby is born. Not the case for me. Spoiler alert, it took 24 hours. But sometimes I didn't want that to happen. You know, I didn't want to get there and have to explain, hey, my husband's deployed. These are the numbers that you need to call. Like some women, when they get to the hospital, they are like one track mind and they can't really vocalize
their needs and wants.
So I wrote everything down. I'm pretty sure my birth plan was like 3 or 4 pages. yeah. And so I planned like a mad woman. And I also planned because my family and friends were all in Michigan. And it's important to note that my two best friends were also pregnant and they were due before me. So my boss was due a month before me. And my best friend, who was also pregnant with me, who we found out that we were pregnant like within days of each other, she was due a couple weeks before me. So I knew that they would go probably before me. And so I couldn't really rely on them even to, you know, go and let out my dog. So I had to really focus on figuring out who was going to do what, who was going to come over and let the dog out. So I asked, you know, one of our neighbors that we are friends with to be on call in case I needed them to come and take the dog. And I had family over in Alabama. So I had them on standby if I needed them to come. And they were going to, you know, they were a couple hours away. And so I had all these people on standby. So I had like a plan. Like a plan A and plan B, a plan if he's not home and a plan when he is home.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, I had everything planned to a T. Even my doula, so birthing partner, if you will, not a midwife, but like in the same realm as a midwife. And so she was actually my chiropractor and she offered, she knew how much I was planning and she could see that I was getting anxious the closer I got to May, my due date. And so she offered to be my doula and she lived in the area and I actually was her nanny. So she was more than just a chiropractor. She was really a friend and someone that I could count on and trust. And so she offered to be my doula in case my husband wasn't there, that I wouldn't have to birth alone. And they're, you know, and so I went over my birth plan with her and she knew like how she could help me advocate for myself. And so she was really, really the person that I was counting on the most if he didn't make it home in time. And so she was on standby. And I remember the day that she offered to be my doula and like my go-to person, because for a while I didn't have a go-to person. My go-to people were in Alabama a couple hours away. So if I really needed someone now, I didn't have anyone. Right. And so I remember going in and when she offered, I just like broke down in tears because it was like, oh my gosh. It was like the realization that I was not going to do this alone, even if he wasn't home. So yeah, so she was on standby. Everybody was on standby. There were two plans. And then we got word, I think it was, again, it was close to my due date, but I think it was a couple weeks before we got word that they were sending him home. And yeah, in like a week. So we were a couple weeks away from my due date. We were a month away from my due date. And he got word that he was coming home soon. And then, you know, a couple days later, more information trickled out like it does with the military.
Right.
And so that was just the biggest relief ever. I think what happened was they wanted to send him home before it was an emergency because they knew that it was going to be cheaper for them to buy a flight ahead of time than to like put them on a red eye around the world. So I'm almost positive that's why they sent him home. But again, the military, You're on a need
You
to know
don't know.
basis. So we didn't really ask questions. We just kind of took it and ran with it. So yeah, so we ended up coming home and it was amazing. I didn't even cry when he came home because I think I was just so relieved that he was home that I like did not care. And then it was like, okay, baby, I'm done being pregnant. Come out, please. And of course, she took her sweet time and she missed her due date by like 2 hours, I think. So
oh,
I was
wow.
in labor on her actual due date. And then my husband's parents and my parents actually came down the week before my due date. So here I thought the whole pregnancy that I was going to do this alone. And then within 2 weeks of each other, I have like my entire support system surrounding me. And so it was just such a, it was honestly, it was a huge mindset switch to go from like, I have all of these plans, all of these people on standby to, oh my gosh, now everyone's waiting on me to have this baby. Like everyone's in place. And now it's just like,
waiting.
Now what? Now what?
Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and
exactly.
wait.
Exactly. Exactly. It's what we do best. Hurry up to wait. But yeah. And so I won't go into like how the birth went, but it was 24 hours. Zero complications. It was beautiful. Of course, there were twists and turns because baby had her own agenda and took her sweet time to come. But it was amazing, and he was home for it. And I remember after she was born, I was napping because it was 24 hours, so I was exhausted afterwards. So my husband was holding our daughter. And he was like holding her like in a chair, and I woke up and I looked at him and he was just like bawling because that was his realization that he made it home in time. Like this whole
I'm gonna tear up. I'm tearing up now.
I'm tearing up too. But like it was just like we didn't know if it was gonna happen that way. And that was his realization moment of like when everything kind of settled down after the birth and he and my daughter were just like sitting together bonding and I was sleeping. There were no nurses in the room. The lights were off. He just said it all hit him like, oh my gosh, wow. I can't believe this worked out the way it did.
That's so special. And
yeah,
I feel that, like that's such a great example of as a military family. Like you said, there was a complete mind shift because you had this one way of thinking it was going to happen. And then it completely took a turn like it always does in the military.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then you find yourself in those sweet little moments of gratitude and just being thankful that, you know, it's there. Like, I just love that. Yeah. Such a beautiful story.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then I laugh, but oh my gosh, I was so mad. Then they sent him to Hawaii when she was like a month old.
Oh my god. Well, you had your moment now.
Yep, for 3 weeks. And so here I was in what they call the fourth trimester, the 3 months after birth.
Oh, you know, I've never heard of that.
Here I was in the fourth trimester with this baby, and then they're like, oh, welcome back from deployment. Now you're going to train in Hawaii for 3 weeks.
Wow.
And so again, my support system came in like they always do. And I scheduled out when people were going to come. So I think first my mom came for a week. Or no, first my mother-in-law came for a week. And then she was relieved by my best friend that came for a week. And then my mom came up at the end for a week. So I think I was only alone for a couple of days in between. I think a couple of, I think like a day or two here and there that I was alone. But let me tell you, even letting the dog out, because we lived in an apartment complex at the time. So even letting the dog out with a newborn, like what do? Do you leave the newborn in the crib and take the camera? Do you put the newborn on your chest and take them out in the 100 degree heat? Do you like, it was just, I felt like everything was such a feat. And so I applaud anyone that is going at the newborn stage, the fourth trimester alone, because you really do. I cannot stress this enough. You need a support system in that time, because not only is this a really, really huge transition for you as a woman, but also in life. A little, now you are, you know, now you have to keep another human alive. And you can read all the baby books you want, but every baby is different. Every mother is different. Every postpartum is different. There is all of those books kind of go out the window. Like, it's a good baseline to have in terms of information, but Google will be your friend, your best friend. You will Google everything. I'm pretty sure I Googled, like, why is my baby crying? I'm not
Oh.
kidding, because at the beginning they're as shocked as you are. They've just been in this nice warm home for 9 months, and now they're getting used to being out in the world. And so it's just a huge transition. And so, yeah, if I had any advice for new moms, it's to just ask for help when you need it, either professionally or emotionally, socially. Just ask for help, because it is a lot. It's a lot to transition into, and just make sure that you have that support system after birth, whether in the military or not.
Yeah, and if you are in the military and say that you're in an installation where your family can't come and visit, I mean, especially during these times, I know there is here, and I'm sure there is on almost every installation, if not all. Well, especially here, they have Osan Moms, and that's a group that you can, find your support system there. It's amazing how fast military spouses become your friends and are there for you. So find your support system however you can get it, and it's not always going to be perfect.
That brings up a great point. So I've had two babies in states that I don't have my support system readily there, living there. So I was thankful again in this pregnancy that my dad came down over over from Michigan to California for the last like 2 weeks, if not three, because I was late with my second. And so he was here to watch my daughter. And so he was kind of our support right afterwards. And then again, the moms came afterwards. So even though we are in a pandemic, we still were able to have family. But yeah, there are such creative ways to support new moms. Grocery delivery. Huge, 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 huge. Grocery delivery. I feel like everybody does groceries now. Gift cards. You can send diapers to the house. Amazon has, that's where we get our diapers. There's Amazon. So Amazon has diapers, wipes, any baby accessory, practical or cute. And so there's still so much you can do other than, you know, actually physically going over there. Because yeah, in the pandemic, your mommy instincts kick in too, in terms of visitors. So please be respectful of that too, is, I mean, babies don't have the greatest little immune systems. And so you definitely don't want them to get sick. And you, as a mom, as a recovering from your birth, I mean, some women, you know, have to have cesarean sections, and that's a major surgery. And you definitely don't want to be sick trying to take care of a baby and recovering from a surgery. So, you know, moms are very, very protective of that time after. So if a mom says, no, I don't want, you know, any visitors, please respect that and try and find a different way to support that woman.
Yeah, it always goes back to boundaries. You're talking about being a new mom, and we often talk about being a military spouse is setting those boundaries, but also asking for help when you need it. So it's
Yep.
kind of a balancing act with that. Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely.
Molly, thank you for sharing that beautiful story. That was so
Yeah, you're
touching.
welcome. So yeah, I didn't get too far into the details, Aaron, did I?
No, I'm okay. I'm coming out of
Okay,
this,
good.
and I haven't
If
fainted.
you do want the nitty-gritty details of my birth story, or if you're a mom, or if you're a new mom, or if birth and pregnancy is a topic that you are interested in, I do have an Instagram page specifically for pregnancy and birth, and it's called the_birthful_mama. So find me on Instagram. You can also just search my name, Molly Cruzan, and it should come up too. But yeah, both of my birth stories, as well as some other tips and tricks from a mom of two, are on there. So if you are curious for the details, definitely check that out.
If you have questions for Molly, send in your questions or ask us anything. We are happy to answer anything that is on your mind.
Yep.
There is never too silly of a question to ask when it comes to being a mom. I'm assuming I'm not one, but being a mom and being a military spouse.
Yes, absolutely.
And just to remind you guys, you can find us on Instagram, millspouse_house. We're on Facebook, or you can send us your questions on millspousehouse.vaclaimsinsider.com. Thank you guys so much for spending your new year with us, and we'll see you next time. From our house to yours, have a great day.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Mill Spouse House is brought to you by VA Claims Insider. VA Claims Insider is an education-based coaching consulting company for disabled veterans who are exploring eligibility for increased VA disability benefits. VACI was founded in 2016 by Brian Reese, Air Force Service Disabled Veteran and former U.S. Air Force Captain.
VACI currently serves more than 300,000 unique veterans per month across its websites and membership programs. VACI's mission is veterans helping veterans access education-based resources to get the VA disability rating and compensation they deserve.